Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
We'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB throughout the championship meet. The Gulfstream Park Championship Meet runs now through the early April Florida Derby weekend, featuring high-quality racing throughout. Once again, we'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship. I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. As always, appreciate your tuning in. Racing Across America on a Sunday morning means a little recap of some of the action from yesterday, and there was plenty of it. We'll take a look at that big fairgrounds card, some stakes action over at Aqueduct, Oaklawn, Tampa, Gulfstream. A little bit later on, we'll be joined by our friend Frank Vespi from theracingbiz.com. They do a great job covering racing in the Mid-Atlantic, and there was a nice stakes day at Laurel yesterday too. Frank was out that way. General George, Barbara Fritchie, a couple of nice two-year-old or now three-year-old races early in the three-year-old season. So we'll get some thoughts there as well a little bit later in the show, but we'll kick things off taking a look at, as I say, some fairgrounds and other stakes action coming up. Before we do that, just want to touch on some of the news and notes that we mentioned something yesterday. Keep your eyes on Steve Asmussen this weekend because he is getting closer and closer to 10,000 career victories. Just phenomenal feat. And he had a number of entrants yesterday, and there was one race down at the fairgrounds where his horse took the lead at about the 16th pole, and he gets fixed off or was ready. He said, oh, is this the one? And then about the time he said that, a horse came up on the inside and got him. So Steve Asmussen after yesterday, now one victory away. He has three entrants at Oaklawn today and six at Sam Houston. So we'll see, you know, it's going to be sooner rather than later. I said yesterday, a lot of times when trainers or jockeys or owners or whatever, they're sitting on that milestone victory, it just seems to take a long time. And the tracks have the big posters ready and it just goes, the person brings the family to the track every day, and it takes a long time. But Steve Asmussen just has so many bullets to fire at various venues. This will happen sooner rather than later, and it would not be a shock at all with, again, nine entrants at this point before scratches at any tracks for him to do it today. So sitting on the verge of 10,000 victories. Yesterday, Brad Cox got his own milestone, had a nice day down at the fairgrounds. We'll talk more about that in a moment, but he got his 2,000th career victory and went through that. I think at the end of the day he had 2002, but congratulations to him. And another notable, another guy having a good day yesterday, and then it prompted me to pull up the stats. Frankie Dettori, in his final year in the saddle, starting the retirement tour, spending the winter in sunny Southern California. He's been riding at Santa Anita, and he's bounced to some other tracks for big stakes days as well. But Frankie Dettori yesterday at Santa Anita won 4, and that prompted me to go look up the Santa Anita jockey leaderboard. I was just curious, you know, because I haven't been paying attention day after day after day to see Frankie Dettori number 2 at Santa Anita this winter. Juan Hernandez well ahead. Juan Hernandez has 37 victories out at Santa Anita this season, but Frankie Dettori sits second with 18. So that's not bad. Frankie Dettori just kind of like, as I say, we'll kick off the retirement tour, spending a little time out at Santa Anita and sitting at this point in the season number 2 in the standings. Our friend John Velasquez is down at sitting number 8 with 9 victories out of 59 starts, so pretty good percentage there. But again, I thought it was notable. A good day yesterday at Santa Anita, 4 wins. Frankie Dettori, number 2 on the leaderboard down that way. All right, let's take a look at some of the action from yesterday down at the fairgrounds. It was a really nice stakes day, highlighted by the Risen Star, and we'll kick things off looking at that. And Joe Kristofek and I were on yesterday on Racing Across America. Joe Kristofek, paddock commentator from Fairgrounds. He liked Angel of Empire. I liked Angel of Empire. I said I was tilting more towards victory formation originally. Brad Cox trainee coming out of a win in the Smarty Jones, undefeated in three tries. But victory formation had the 13 post position. I thought, yeah, that's going to be tough. So he had won the Smarty Jones, but Angel of Empire, also a Brad Cox trainee, had run second, and he had a little bit better post in the sixth. So I said, you know what? I'm going to look for things to switch up. I'll go with Angel of Empire. I also mentioned, and I'm kicking myself now, I played it just because I had talked about it. But I should have put Sun Thunder in my mix. I didn't. But on the handicapping show yesterday on Racing Across America in the afternoon, I talked about Sun Thunder. I had been in here on New Year's Eve when Sun Thunder won a maiden special at Oaklawn. I thought it was visually impressive, so I thought Ken McPeak might have an interesting horse here. In the subsequently, they tried the Southwest at the end of January and disappointed me running fourth behind Arabian Night that day. But that maiden breaker was still enough that, as I say, yesterday I mentioned Sun Thunder. I said, boy, if this one goes off at a price, I'm going to play around with it a little bit. And 15-1 on the morning line, went off at 16-1. And as I say, I kicked myself, should have put the horse in the mix because I had talked about it. And having talked about it, I had to play around with it a little bit. And because my top pick, Angel of Empire, was 13-1, did some exactas and whatnot and turned out okay. We'll watch the stretch run here. And Angel of Empire is going to be the number six horse. Sun Thunder is going to be the number seven. And Sun Thunder is going to sneak up and be very threatening. But you can see Angel of Empire, Luis Saez also getting a good ride and getting it done here. As I say, 13-1, Sun Thunder, 16-1. And they combined for dollar exact, $179. Running third was Two Fills. Fourth was Tappet's Conquest. Tappet's Conquest was the horse that, as we talked with Joe yesterday, and I was listening to the radio, Steve Bick on the radio last week, and Tappet's Conquest was the one that was getting a little bit of interesting buzz, but that one winds up fourth. Did take a little action at 5-1. The favorite victory formation, people were with me, but disappointed running, wound up running ninth at 9-5. And again, broke the undefeated streak. Flavian Pratt said, hey, I got him to relax, but then he never re-engaged. So he was a little victory formation, a little bit disappointing. But Brad Cox, he had victory formation, he had Angel of Empire, and he had Tappet's Conquest. And of the three, obviously the longest price was Angel of Empire, but gets it done. And Brad Cox was enthusiastic after the race and said, you know, I knew he would like more distance. Mile and 16th, mile and 8th, mile and a quarter. Had run second, as they say, in the Smarty Jones at a mile. But yesterday it was a mile and an eighth down at the fairgrounds. And Brad said, I knew he was going to relish moving out, getting a little more distance. He clearly did. And again, Brad Cox with four wins on the card, including this one, goes through that 2000 career victory milestone, ending the day with 2002. Angel of Empire winds up with an 87 buyer. That moves him ahead a couple of points over his previous best buyer figure. Doesn't jump off the page, but it's perfectly respectable. Cox mentioned that he has Instant Coffee, who will be aiming for the Louisiana Derby on March 26th. And there you see that, as I say, they always have the cards made up, and there is the 2000th career victory for Brad Cox. But again, Instant Coffee for Al Gold will aim for the Louisiana Derby on March 26th. Brad said Angel of Empire maybe goes there, but they will check their options for that one. But Angel of Empire stepping in. And it was a points race. I think top points here were 50, so Angel of Empire is in. But Sun Thunder, I think, winds up with 20 points. And you would think it's Ken McPeak, I'm sure. And again, I should have put the horse in the mix. I talked about it enough that hopefully people toss a little Sun Thunder in their mix as well, because, as I say, it was a very nice, very generous exacta. Should mention the win price, too, $29.40. And again, yesterday on the show, if you're tuned in, Joe Kristofek and I both landed there. So you wound up with just under $30 for the winner in the Risen Star. One race earlier, I think everybody was excited to see the three-year-old return of Who's Your Filly until the race was run. Then it wasn't quite as exciting. But I had Who's Your Filly on top, but I said I thought Chop Chop was potentially a solid contender, and I thought pretty mischievous coming out of the win in the stakes race here at Fairgrounds at the end of December was also a little bit intriguing, and it wound up to be pretty mischievous. The number five horse getting it done here for Brendan Walsh. Miracle runs second, the number six, and it's number two, Who's Your Filly, disappointing at 2-5, running third, and a well-beaten third. I mean, chart margin here is, what, over eight lengths? Back. Chop Chop also disappointed a little bit, well beaten fifth, but pretty mischievous. Tyler Gaffleone on board, runs the record to four wins in five starts. You can see a nice little duel here for a while with Miracle, but winds up three quarters of a length ahead. And again, it was a break back to Who's Your Filly, Tommy Amos. There was a little trouble maybe at the start, a little bobble at the start for Who's Your Filly, and Tommy Amos mentioned that, but he said, you know, he expressed that it was a disappointing effort from her, despite, you know, perhaps a little bit of a problem at the beginning. Pretty mischievous, winds up with an 83 buyer, and again, a very solid record so far, four wins and five starts, including a couple of stakes wins now down at the Fairgrounds. She'd run third behind Who's Your Filly, three starts back in the Goldenrod. But again, that was only her third start. She seems to be kind of improving and getting better with age. She winds up with an 83 buyer and again moves forward a few points from her previous buyer. And again, not a huge number, not an eye-popping number, but a respectable number. Brendan Walsh said, one more start before they head to the Kentucky Oaks, and it's either going to be March 25th, the Fairground Oaks, or April 7th, the Ashland at Keeneland. So we'll see where she goes. But a nice performance yesterday. And we'll have to keep our eyes and see what the game plan will be with Who's Your... I will tell you, for the folks who took the relatively short price on her in the Kentucky Derby, and I said when I went over those odds yesterday, I want to say she was 7-1 or 8. It was whatever it was too short. Given that... Again, you're looking in that future pool, you got to make the starting gate. So for the males, you got to get the points and you got to avoid getting a little ding. But for the filly, she also has to get the points and has to get the points against males, which has changed from, you know, going back a few years back. So it's a little tougher lately for the fillies to get in. So to take the short price, but after yesterday, oof, if you took the short price, I'm sure you're... On the flip side... Oh, I don't think I have the odds sitting here now. But on the flip side, Angel of Empire, I think, went off at a huge number in the future pool. And I'm just seeing, because I did have those odds sitting here yesterday, and I don't think I'm going to be able to pull them up quickly here. Maybe I will. But that's the kind of the fun of the future pool. It closed last week, so you're a week away from Angel of Empire getting the start in the stake at Fairgrounds. And then the horse wins, and you look and you say, oh, yeah, last week I grabbed the little Angel of Empire at 112-1. So there is the yin and the yang of the future pool. And again, the filly, the short price, I'm just trying to see what her price was, because as I say, she was 11-1. Still, it was just, that's too short. That's too short for a superstar that doesn't have an obstacle getting in. But again, the yin and the yang. If you had Who's Your Filly at 11-1, you're kind of wringing your hands. If you picked up a little Angel of Empire at 112-1, good for you. I'd feel pretty good about that. As I say, the number didn't jump off the page. I don't know what the Kentucky Derby future holds, but it's still 112-1 off the winner of the stakes race yesterday. All right, let's go a little bit earlier on the card. And again, these big cards down at the Fairgrounds, feature races in the various divisions, and that includes in surfaces in the fairgrounds. They're on the turf, and I like Pixelate. Pixelate went off at 9-2 and disappointed a little bit, running fifth. But right under Pixelate, I put two Emmys. Two Emmys in this race last year had run a disappointing 10th at 3-1, but came in off a first start off a layoff. Had run in June up at Hawthorne, and then came back on January 21st. And in the Colonel Bradley had run a pretty good second behind Gentle Soul. Gentle Soul was also in here and is going to wind up second. But two Emmys, and I had two Emmys and Gentle Soul second and third behind Pixelate. As I say, Pixelate disappoints, but two Emmys does not. Nice wire job, essentially, for two Emmys. Number two horse goes off as the 9-5 favorite. The second choice at 7-2 was Gentle Soul. Number four horse finishes second under Ray Lou Gutierrez, and English Tavern runs third. But it was the top two choices. Well, I say top two choices. Tis the Bomb was actually the second choice, also at 7-2, though. But the first and the close-up third choice combined for, about a 19, just about a $20 exacta for a couple of bucks. But no threat there to two Emmys. Again, on the front end all the way around and kind of motored away late. And boy, you see that funny-looking turf course with the rail where it is. I will say, on the wide shot now, it looks pretty good and pretty green. But if you remember, early in the season, they were having trouble. And if you saw some of the pictures on Twitter, it was not a good-looking situation. I guess you do see some patches there that don't look good. They did have the trouble with the turf course. So now they've kind of cut it in half. It just looks funny to see them running in a kind of a narrow lane there. But regardless, two Emmys gets it done. 24 starts, 7 wins. This would have to have put him 900,000 dollars in earnings at this point. So nice little 7-year-old runner, trained by Hugh Robertson. James Graham in the saddle yesterday, and as I say, powered away in the stretch to get it done by over 4 lengths. Also on the card yesterday, as they say, they run various divisions. And in the older division, we had the Mineshaft, mile and a 16th for the handicap division. There were some horses in here that were a little bit intriguing as newly turned 4-year-olds. And last year, the 3-year-olds of 2021, as we got into the late part portion of that season and early 2022, they seemed to progress very nicely. And it seemed like those 2021 3-year-olds were going to play in the handicap division, and that was getting validated early season. Well, there was some of that going on here. Pioneer Medina, newly turned 4-year-old. Tawny Port, newly turned 4-year-old. How would they progress into the handicap division this year? I put Pioneer of Medina on top with trepidation, not a super amount of confidence, but came out of a triple-digit second in the Harlan's Holiday. Showed a lot of promise early in the career, including a win at the fairgrounds on one of the big stakes days last year. Subsequently, fourth in the Risen Star, third in the Louisiana Derby, and then clunked in the Kentucky Derby, clunked in the Smarty Jones, clunked in a Keeneland allowance, but ended the 3-year-old season with an optional claiming win at Churchill, and that second in the Harlan's Holiday at Gulfstream, again with the triple-digit buyer. So I thought maybe this horse is rebounding, now moving in the right direction. I use it on top, but as I say, not with a whole lot of confidence. I put Mr. Wireless second, came in off a couple of second-place finishes and stakes tries down at the fairgrounds. And then I had Tawny Port third, another newly turned 4-year-old. That I was going to be interested to see how that older division season would start for Tawny Port. Tawny Port may be a little bit disappointing, running fifth as the second choice at 3-1. But 5-2, you know, a lukewarm favorite. At betting public, I think, was with me on Pioneer of Medina. 5-2 is kind of a lukewarm, but for me, about the right price. Pioneer Medina, though, will get it done here. The number 7 horse had to work, though. Horse I had right underneath Mr. Wireless, just a head behind at 6-1. Run Classic runs third. I had that one down in fourth in my mix. Tawny Port, as I say, fifth at 3-1. Happy American took a little action, wound up running eighth at 4-1. But again, you get a nice little duel here, Pioneer Medina and Mr. Wireless. And I felt most of this duel, I thought Mr. Wireless was going to push on by, but Pioneer Medina, you love to see that. Just was like, no, you're not going by. And they just stayed about that head margin for probably the last 150 yards or so, at least. Louis Saez on board Pioneer Medina, Deshaun Parker on Mr. Wireless. Those two combined for a nice little $65 exacta, so not bad with our 1-2 horses running 1-2 there. Nice little price. I will say, Todd Pletcher, it was interesting after the race. Dave Greinke, actually, I don't know if Dave was at the fairgrounds or he was covering remotely, but he had the post-race article with Todd Pletcher. And he made an interesting comment. If you look at the PPs, it plays out. He said, you know, putting the blinkers back on may have been the key, because I kind of went through the scenario with this one. They had the blinkers on last year for that optional claiming win at the fairgrounds about this time last year on one of the big stakes days. They had the blinkers on for the fourth in the Risen Star. They had the blinkers on for the third in the Louisiana Derby. They took the blinkers off in that 19th place finish in the Kentucky Derby. Blinkers still off for an 8th by 18 lengths. Blinkers still off for an 8th by 12 lengths. No, the blinkers were off for the Kentucky Derby and the Smarty Jones, the 19th and the 8th. Then they popped the blinkers back on, still tossed in a little bit of a clunker down at Keeneland, but had that win and then the second in the Harlan's Holiday, and now with the blinkers, the win yesterday in the mineshaft. So Todd Pletcher in the Greinke article was quoted as saying blinkers coming back on has been the key. And if you look, it kind of bears that out, because there was kind of an inexplicable stretch of races that where the horse was just nowhere, and now it's come back nicely. So sometimes those equipment changes are worth paying a little bit of attention to, or more, and that seems to be the case. First stakes win for Pioneer Medina, and again, seems to indicate he'll be an interesting player in the handicap division. Triple-digit buyer last time in the Harlan's Holiday, and yesterday popped a 99, so solid number there as well. Let's go one race earlier at the fairgrounds, and we will look at the Colonel Power. This race was kind of interesting because Joe Christofek and company were talking, pre-race in the paddock, and they were talking about Angaston. And he had talked to trainer Lon Wiggins, and Joe said he's friends with the connection, and sentimentally he liked the horse, but he also liked the horse. But Angaston, 8 years old, came into yesterday's race not having run since June of 2021. So year and a half plus. But before that June 2021 race, hadn't raced since August of 2019. So this is a horse that in the last 3 years has run once, and that was a year and a half prior. Angaston, the number 7 horse, off an 8-year-old off that kind of a record, is going to put up a heck of a fight here. The winner will be Evan Singh. Went off as the 2-1 favorite. Got in from the AE list. I liked Maniwa. I liked Surveillance. They didn't offer up much. They were more dirt than turf, but they had turf records that were okay. Maniwa wound up 7th. Surveillance, as the second choice at 5-2, winds up 4th. But it is Evan Singh and Angaston. As Evan Singh the 9, Angaston the number 7. Coming down and kind of dueling a little bit. But as I say, Angaston with the situation there, at 7-1, Angaston, the 8-year-old with the crazy calendar record, winds up 2nd here. But given that, that 2nd's pretty impressive. But the winner does wind up to be Evan Singh. As I say, gets in off the AE list. Flavian Pratt on board. Al Stahl trains and runs the record to 3 wins in seven starts. Hadn't been seen since Keeneland in October. This was stakes debut for this horse and a pretty nice performance. I'm kind of surprised that one went off as the 2-1 favorite. There were some things to like, but boy, with the record, and again, hadn't tried stakes company. To me, I didn't use the horse. To me, looking at the last few races, couldn't quite pull the trigger there, but the betting public nails it with Evan Singh getting it done in the Colonel Power. And finally, let's go a little bit earlier on the card and look at the Stahl Memorial. Stahl Memorial yesterday was about a mile and a 16th on the grass for the fillies and mares. I like Lake Luzerne. That's the way it's going to play out here. Lake Luzerne with a nice late run, the number three horse under Tyler Gaffleone, goes off as the 8-5 favorite, and we'll get it done here. Soft Touch runs second. Trail Ridge Road runs third. So again, Lake Luzerne will be the winner here as we watch him come down the stretch. Number three, Lake Luzerne, nice late run. The chart margin winds up to be a couple of lengths here for horse coming in off a couple of stakes tries already this season at Fairgrounds. Had run third, two starts back in the Blushing KD in the Krantz Memorial last time, a close-up second, and continues the trend. Third, three back, second last time, and wins yesterday. As I say, the chart margin, a couple of lengths, Soft Touch second, Trail Ridge third in there. So there was your stakes action yesterday at the Fairgrounds. We'll take a look around the horn at some of the other action quickly before we catch Frank Vespi at just a little past the bottom of the hour. But at Aqueduct yesterday, scratch-reduced field of four in the Heavenly Prize. I liked Falconette. Falconette going to run second here as the 3-5 favorite at 7-2. It's going to be Frostpoint, and Frostpoint's going to take them all the way around. Vargas put this one in front, and they get into the stretch. She spurts away. Chart margin's going to wind up to be just over six lengths. Third choice, again, at 7-2. You wound up with $9. $9 in a field of four is pretty good if you use that one. Falconette, who was the, as I say, overwhelming favorite, holds on for a second, and Battle Bling runs third in there. Again, a little bit uninspiring field of four, but it was a decent little performance from Frostpoint. Bill Mott trainee, now four wins in 10 starts. All right, let's move over to Oaklawn. This was kind of fun. You know, we had the Mine Shaft for the older horses down at the Fairgrounds, the Razorback Handicap for the older horses at Oaklawn. I like West Will Power, the number six horse, Joel Rosario on board for Gary and Mary West. Joel got aggressive and moved that one up and kind of made the, you know, push the envelope early. Fractions weren't crazy, though. 23-47, 111 and change. And West Will Power will hold on for second, but with a nice late run at 8-1, Last Samurai. Christian Torres on board for the coach, Wayne Lucas. Last Samurai, the number seven. West Will Power, the number six. Law Professor, the number two. They'll run 1-2-3. Chart margin winds up to be a length and a half. Winning price, $18.80. And a nice interview by Nancy Holthus in the winner's circle with Wayne Lucas. It was fun to see him down there day before Nick Zito was a winner at Oaklawn as well. So Oaklawn hosting some of the legends in the game in the winner's circle over the past couple of days. But Last Samurai, kind of interesting. The last stakes victory for this one was last April in the Oaklawn Handicap. And I guess that's going to be the game plan again this year. Came into yesterday with four career victories overall, two of them at Oaklawn, and gets it done in the Razorback. They're looking at the March 18th Essex, which will again lead into this year's edition of the Oaklawn Handicap. So again, fun to see Wayne Lucas in the winner's circle with a horse that may be a little bit of a horse for a course, kind of a situation now. Now at this point, eight career starts at Oaklawn, three wins in a couple of seconds. So certainly does appreciate the Arkansas cooking, it seems like, for Last Samurai. Let's also, they had a couple of stakes down at Tampa yesterday. We'll hit on those as well. The Lightning City, 5 furlongs on the turf. We'll take a look at the stretch run here. It will be Trained Artemis getting it done. No shock to the betting public. That one goes off as the 4-5 favorite. Tracy Ann's Legacy at 19-1 completes the exact end. Sassy Beast at 63-1 completes the try. So you had $3.80 on top, but you wound up with a $35 exacta, and for 50 cents, you wound up with almost $150 for the try, despite a $3.80 winner on top. But it was a nice run for Trained Artemis. Kelly Breen trained, Paco Lopez on board there. Chart margin there wound up to be a couple of lengths. And a little earlier on the card, or excuse me, a little later on the card, actually, race number 10 was the Turf Dash down at Tampa yesterday. Again on the turf, and the winner here, Chess Master, 6-1 at 9-1. Full disclosure, Fluid Situation was the 2-1 favorite. That one winds up third in here. Chess Master getting it done again at $15.80. So a little bit of value to be had there. Nice exacta too. You had a 6-1 over a 9-1. And you wound up with $140 exacta for a couple of bucks. So there was some value to be had, perhaps, playing the Turf Dash down at Tampa. And we'll wrap things up taking a look at the stakes race at Gulfstream yesterday. It is the Royal Delta. Kathleen O was the horse that the betting public landed on. She's the number two horse. Classy Addition, though. Nice little New York bred from Todd Pletcher. And Irad Ortiz got kind of aggressive and opened up as they came into the stretch. And Kathleen O was sitting way back early, so had a lot to do for her seasonal debut. And again, Irad Ortiz, you know, took the bull by the horns and made a early move to the lead. Well, early, as I say, as they came in around the turn into the stretch, which left Kathleen O with just a little too much to do. But Classy Addition, as I say, this is some nice little New York bred. Started the career facing New York bred company in 2021 at Saratoga, Belmont, and Aqueduct in the first three wins. Subsequently moved into open company, second in the Devona Dale here at Gulfstream last year, then fourth in the Gazelle. That was in April. Laid off after that, came back and won an optional claimer to start the season January 11th, and now this one. So this is now 5 victories in 7 career starts for Classy Addition. Again, nice little New York bred. And Kathleen O, you know, it was, I'm sure, disappointing, but good place to start the season. Clearly, there are, you know, bigger and better things out there ahead for her now as a 4-year-old. So again, really, really nice stakes action, kind of all over the map yesterday. Highlighted again by that action at the fairgrounds. But it was also a very nice stakes day yesterday at Laurel, the General George, the Barbara Fritchie, and as I said earlier, our friend Frank Vespi doing a great job with the racingbiz.com covering all the action in the Mid-Atlantic region. And so he was at Laurel yesterday. Thought we'd reach out to him and get some thoughts on some of the stakes action. So that's what we'll do right after this break. We'll move down to Laurel and go through some of their stakes action, which clearly will play into the later part of the year as well, including those 2 3-year-old stakes they had yesterday. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
This is a championship meet. All the best jockeys in the world are here, and I'm excited to ride against them. You get to watch some really incredible, talented athletes out there.
To us, it's a place to be in the winter.
I love Gulfstream Park because of the racing.
The palm trees, the beach is right here. The horse racing is some of the best in the country.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku.
The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined now by our friend Frank Vespi from theracingbiz.com. Great spot on the internet to follow racing in the Mid-Atlantic region. And of course, it was a big day in that area yesterday at Laurel. So I thought we'd reach out to Frank. Frank, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Marrow. How are you?
Very good. Happy to have you on board to talk. We talked with Dave Rodman yesterday in preview. We plug you in review, and I will get a little follow-up because we asked Dave about the weather yesterday, and he said, you know, it had been a little bit nasty on Friday, and so they didn't train yesterday, but he was expecting, you know, maybe a little overcast and maybe a little bit of an off track. What did the weather turn out to be yesterday at Laurel?
It actually, for the middle of February in Maryland, the weather was pretty much perfect. It was brisk, but, you know, not – this is a day that is often snowing or like 12 degrees, and yesterday was in the 40s. It was sunny. The track was fast. It really couldn't have been much nicer than it was.
Yeah, well, I can relate. Up here in upstate New York, about a week and a half ago, we had two crazy days of cold weather just to remind us it was winter. But even with that crazy cold, you drive down. I come down the Northway every day, and you look on the side, there's no snow. And I think we don't have a whole lot to complain. That said, we're making a trip down to the Florida Derby at the end of March, so I'm still looking forward to it.
Attaboy, that's a good trip to take.
Sometimes it all works out, right? So, looking forward to that. And in the meantime, I live vicariously watching Gulfstream in Tampa. But yesterday, we were watching a little Laurel for some really nice racing action. So, again, let's jump into it because General George, Barbara Fritchie, and I'm interested to hear your take on the three-year-old. I said that earlier, so the early season three-year-old races as well, which are always fun. But we'll start out with the General George. Grade three, $250,000 up for grabs, 7 furlongs is the trip. I thought Factor It In, coming in good form, was the horse. 8 for 12 at Laurel. Boy, that one disappoints a little bit, running fourth at 6 to 5. Eastern Bay is going to get it done here, and I'll credit Dave Rodman. Had Dave on yesterday. He liked Eastern Bay at 7 to 1, so $17 for Dave. Pirate Rick, I thought, was kind of intriguing, but I wondered if that one wouldn't be better at 6 furlongs than 7, and maybe it worked out that way as that one ran 6th. But again, it was a nice performance from Eastern Bay. Yodel EA Who runs 2nd, Baron 3rd. What were your thoughts on the General George?
Yeah, I thought Eastern Bay obviously ran a really good race. Showed uncharacteristic kind of early zip. You know, he was engaged really from the first jump, which was a little bit unusual for him. I actually had landed on Yodel Yehu, who runs 2nd at 12 to 1, but it was going to be a tough track to close on yesterday. I mean, that's how it played out. So that he was running at the end was probably a mark in his favor going forward, but it's going to be tough to make up ground. But one other piece that I kind of want to flag here is the first graded win for Eastern Bay, but also for his jockey, William Humphrey. So he was pretty excited. And they also, yesterday, I don't know if Dave and you talked about this, Seth, but they had a ceremony honoring Avery Wissman, the young jockey who passed away sort of tragically a couple of weeks ago. And So they had a moment of silence and whatnot, and they brought out a saddle towel for his favorite horse, the horse that he won the most money on, and that happened to be Eastern Bay.
Oh.
So then he turns around and wins the big race, and talking with Lynn Cash, the trainer, afterwards, he said, you know, after that ceremony, it almost feels like it had to be that way, and it kind of did. And usually when people go, oh, it had to be, or the stars align, I kind of say, you know, stop with the mumbo jumbo, but yesterday felt a little bit like maybe something was going on, and so it was pretty neat to see Eastern Bay win, and the Wisman family was there, and Cash gave them also the saddle towel from the race, so they get two saddle towels with Eastern Bay. So kind of a interesting day, a lot of stuff going on at Laurel.
That's very nice. Yeah, I sit in here in the studio, obviously doing the show in the afternoon, and see simulcast signals here on TVs in the studio from all around the country, and they were honoring the jock. And for folks who aren't familiar, he had some mental health issues, and so a lot of the ceremonies were, you know, promoting mental health awareness as well. So it was nice to see. But that's a great story there with the family and the saddlecloth and whatnot. Very, very nice.
Yeah, it was good stuff, and I wrote about it on theracingbiz.com because it's just like, you know, you had that, and it was very emotional for people, and then first win for Will Humphrey. For the race we'll talk about in a minute, the Fritchie was the first graded win for Richard Monterey, the jockey who's 38 years old, who had retired and came back. And so it was just like, it was one of those days where it sort of, I hate to use phrases like this, the stars aligned and a whole bunch of really kind of neat storylines came together. So pretty cool stuff yesterday.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of with you on that. You know, so that's maybe a little overused, but every once in a while there's a day at the track, a race at the track, a story at the track where you just feel like, yes, it does seem like somebody's watching and making it work. And so good stuff there. All right, let's go a little earlier. You've alluded to it, the Barbara Fritchie Grade 3 event. Again, $250,000. This time the ladies are going to go 7 furlongs. I landed on Past the Champagne, but with some trepidation. Betting Public did as well, making that one the 9-5 favorite. Runs fourth. As I looked at the race, I didn't use her, and then I did use her, but Fee d'Esprit, I was excited to see this one. This is a nice little wind machine down there. Came into yesterday, 14 wins in 25 starts, 12 for 19 at Laurel. So I was excited to see what she could do. She wound up running second, the number 8 horse. It's going to be number 5, swaying to and fro to get it done, coming off a second in a stake in January at Laurel and a win in a stake at Laurel back in December. So she is also kind of a win machine, now 9-16. Nice performance by swaying to and fro. And as they say, Fee d'Esprit, who does very, very well, continue to do it, running second by half a length. Your thoughts on the Fritchie?
Yeah, I thought you alluded to Past the Champagne. I thought she was a disappointment in here because I think she really sat the trip too and just kind of didn't fire on. And sort of in the mode of talking about trips, I think Fee d'Esprit is probably best in here. The trip beats her, in my opinion. She was outside, then he brought her in, but then she kind of had to pause and wait for room, and then swaying to and fro was wandering a little bit, and it was too late before she finally gets clear and runs on. But swaying to and fro, I thought, you know, ran very, very well and at a generous price. I thought 6-1 was a nice price on a horse that hadn't run great last time, but had been running really well previously. And so a big effort there. And as I mentioned before, first graded win for the trainer here, Mario Saray, also first graded win for Richard Monterey, and talking with him afterwards. And, you know, he was saying, I thought it was very interesting because he had retired for a few years, and I asked him about it, and he said, well, you know, I was having a hard time making weight, and it's really hard, you know, when that's a problem for you, it gets really hard because you got to work so hard to make weight. And he said, and I was doing it to ride like 1 or 2 20-1 horses a week, and it just, I lost my passion for it. And he said after a couple of years away, he realized this was the thing he loved to do, and he came back, and now he gets his first graded win. So that was it was pretty cool stuff. And he you know, he was talking about Wisman and you know, kind of the struggles. And he says, you know, now I realize what it's like, and I really try to encourage guys who are going through this because it's really, really hard. And so it was kind of good stuff. This was good stuff yesterday. So happy to see this work out. And interestingly enough, two former claiming horses run 1-2 in the spot.
And you always like to see that somebody walks off with maybe a clever claim as well. Yeah, that is good stuff. And as you talked about it, it reminded me Ramsey Zimmerman has kind of made a comeback down at Oaklawn as well after having been away a long time, and he's having a little bit of success. I think he had some issues as well. And so the whole thing yesterday, I hope, did raise awareness of fans. That being a jockey is a tough gig. I think we all are familiar with the names of the guys who are at the top end of the game, but if you're out there and you're making a living at it, it can be a tough profession.
Yeah, you're not kidding. And really, you know, like talking with Monterey and some of those guys, it's like, you know, there's the top guys in New York, of course, and the top guys, you know, in Maryland make a nice living. But there's that cut below them, the guys who get, you know, a mount or two a day, you know, they're in there struggling, man, and then even less than that. And boy, that's a lot of work for, you know, very often not much reward.
Yeah.
It really is a tough business, and it's got to be a real grind on you when you're just not quite getting to that top level.
Yeah, so hopefully, as I say, yesterday raised a little awareness on that. All right, let's take a look at the Nellie Morse a little bit earlier on the card. Fillies and Mares going a mile and a 16th for $100,000. Betting Public nailed it here. We'll watch the stretch run. Number two, Hybrid Eclipse, gets it done. Award Wanted is the horse that I found intriguing coming out of a couple of wins leading into this. I was surprised. Well, I guess I wasn't surprised. Hybrid Eclipse was the morning line favorite. I thought Award Wanted, though, would take some action and might wind up being favored. But the close-up second choice at 2-1. So the 1-2 horses on the tote board run 1-2 Hybrid Eclipse over Award Wanted in the Nellie Morse. What were your thoughts?
This was the second stakes win on the day for Hevion Toledo, the leading local rider and, you know, kind of a veteran of the room. And, you know, this horse has been in good form. This was a good effort. You know, she's kind of up close pretty much throughout, in tight a little bit early. And then, you know, they got away from her just a little bit on the turn, but then she was able to come running and reel them in. I think, it probably didn't hurt her cause here at all that Malibu Beauty, who is probably the best of this group of horses, was not entered in this spot. So makes the field a little bit more manageable, and she's the beneficiary.
Yeah, as they say, the two likelies run 1-2. You got a little over $16 for the $2 exacta there. All right, the John Campbell. I had written at the top of the page, and as I was talking to Dave yesterday, this was a competitive bunch, I thought. I thought Our Nation on Parade looked kind of intriguing in here, going back to the Maryland Millions class. Speaking of clever claims, this horse had been claimed in September at Churchill, and right off the claim wins the Maryland Millions Classic. I went back to that race as I was handicapping, kind of tilted towards Our Nation on Parade on top. I thought Plot the Dots, the number one, could be a little bit interesting. Our Nation on Parade's the number five horse and does run okay at 5-2, running second. Plot the Dots, a little more disappointing, eighth in the field of nine. But the winner will be Nimitz Class. Again, the betting public gets it right. 9-5 favorite, Nimitz Class, coming off a win in a stake at the end of December at Laurel, getting it done by 4.5 lengths. So pretty easy victory here. And again, the betting public nails it with the 1-2 choices, running 1-2. Your thoughts on the Campbell?
You know what? Nimitz Class getting really, really good right now. I had been inclined towards Shake 'Em Loose, who was scratched but had been entered and looked like was going to be maybe a little bit of a price. But this is a really good effort, and one, it's worth comparing. You know, these horses go 142-1 for a mile and a 16th. The fillies in the next race go 145 flat, basically. So this is a very fast race, and Arnation on Parade, I thought, ran a good race. He's been burning money like crazy since the Maryland Million Classic. He'd been beaten as a favorite three straight prior to this. I had liked Ain't the Beer Cold a little bit in here. I thought he would bounce back and run a better race than he had last time, and he did. But when Nimitz Class kicked in at the head of the lane, it was all over. This is a big effort. This horse loves this, you know, two-turn, mile and a 16th kind of trip. I'm very interested to see where he shows up next. And, I mean, if he keeps showing up at Laurel, he's going to keep winning is what it looks like. But I'm curious as to whether they might fish in deeper waters with him.
Yeah, I mean, he has bounced around throughout the career, but bounced around Penn National, Laurel, and Pimlico. So he's certainly been in that mid-Atlantic region. But as you say, tossed in a 93 buyer win at the end of December. And I was just trying to pull up. Oh, I just checked on Twitter, and it's the Daily Racing Form Spanish Twitter account. They have Nimitz Class with a 101 yesterday.
I completely buy that because, you know, those fillies in the next race are, you know, they're not great, but they're not bad. And he's almost, you know, he's 2.5+ seconds ahead of them. I completely believe a big number on that buyer.
Wow,
I'm very curious to see what happens next. He's in tremendous form right now. If you're going to take a shot with a horse like this, right about now is the time to do it.
No question about it. A number like that gives him what you would think would give him the impetus to check around and see what's coming up. So we'll keep our eyes on Nimitz Class. All right, as I said at the top, interested to get your thoughts and take a look at some of the stretch runs here for the three-year-old races. It's that time of year, and the Miracle Wood is for the three-year-old boys going a mile, $100,000 up for grabs. I used Prince of Jericho. I thought that horse was intriguing. Betting Public did as well, making the horse 1-2, a little bit of a trouble at the start. Coffee with Chris is going to be the winner. I used that one right underneath. Had come out of a second in the spectacular bid, but a win in the Heft. The Heft over the past few years has been a race I've kind of paid attention to as two-year-olds worth watching going forward. So the win in the Heft maybe tilted Coffee with Chris a little more. Should have tilted a little more in my favor. But Coffee with Chris at 7-2 gets it done again over the 1-2 favorite, Prince of Jericho. Your thoughts on the Miracle Wood?
Yeah, Coffee with Chris has really improved a lot. You know, his first several races, he was all right, but he was pretty much just a horse. And then he ran really well in the Heft and ran okay in the spectacular bid and another very good effort here. I think one thing that's interesting as you watch this race, Prince of Jericho, a couple races back when he ran second to Coffee with Chris in the Heft, Sheldon Russell had kind of felt like Coffee with Chris kind of stole a march on him and got just a little bit too far ahead, and then he tried to rally and couldn't get there. Exact same thing happens in this race. On the turn, Coffee with Chris kind of gets away from Prince of Jericho. He comes rallying again, can't quite get there. So I think, you know, there may be a little bit of tactical sort of adjustment to be made there. You know, talking with John Salzman, trainer Coffee with Chris afterwards, he was not sure they would get the mile. He got the mile. He's not sure he's going to go two turns. I mean, I don't know what this race tells us going forward, because the next steps in Maryland for three-year-olds are a mile and a 16th and then a mile and an 8th and then the Preakness. I don't think we're seeing Coffee with Chris probably make that progression, and I'm not sure what they're going to feel about Prince of Jericho going forward. Haven't had a chance to talk with Brittany Russell yet, but I think you would have liked to have seen him win in this spot. Let's say that.
Yeah, no, it's certainly coming off the win in the spectacular bid, but it's interesting, you know, trainer Coffee with Chris kind of wondering about the mile, because you look down at the PPs, and this has been a bona fide sprinter prior. And I, again, the same Twitter feed I had before, it had the buyers for all of those Maryland races. Coffee with Chris, pretty solid, matches the lifetime best in the Heft with an 88. That's a good number. And yet, typically, I talk about it a lot, the siren call of the Triple Crown races this time of year. often proves too tempting to avoid, but they have stuck pretty much with sprints. And interesting to hear the trainers say, boy, the mile, we were kind of questioning. So, again, it's always intriguing this time of year to see what connections do with horses like this. Do they take the shot? Well, let's try the two turns. Or do they say, eh, we have a bona fide sprinter. Let's just work with that because we're pretty good doing that.
Yeah, I mean, that is, as you say, that's a tough decision to make. And it's really, you know, you got a good horse. It's really a good three-year-old this time of year. It's really hard not to try to get on that trail, you know, whether it's to the Derby or the Preakness or the Belmont. And so it will be interesting. And, you know, Salzman, the trainer, also owns a piece of this horse with a couple other people. So he'll have certainly something to say about it, but he also said, you know, sometimes for these horses with speed, you know, going the second turn at least once might be easier on them. You know, the pace will be a little more moderate, it'll probably be a couple lengths in front, and you know, maybe he'll be able to just kind of stay on throughout. So a lot for them to think about, but that's kind of in the department of good problems to have.
Hey, very well put. Yeah, exactly. I can't blame connections at all. You see those races sitting out there, and your Maryland-based guy in the Preakness is sitting out there. I can't blame connections for, let's try the two turns at least once. Let's see what we have. And so it'll be interesting to watch what they do going forward there. All right, and also on the card yesterday, the girls, the fillies in the Wide Country, the three-year-old fillies going 7 furlongs. I did like Stonewall Star in here for Horacio DePaz and Barry Swartz. And Stonewall Star will get it done. Close-up second choice at 9-5. At 8-5, L Street Lady. Boy, disappointing running sixth in the field of six. But it is Stonewall Star getting it done. Chart margin, 11 lengths here. And again, pulled up the buyer. The buyer, decent little 81 for Stonewall Star. So nice performance. In fact, that was a lifetime best buyer for this one. But boy, we're looking at the stretch run here. Man, she makes it look easy.
Yeah, this was a pretty sharp effort. And this is another one, you know, I was talking with Horacio DePaz afterwards. I said, well, the next local filly race, the name of which escapes me, is a mile. And, you know, heading towards the mile and an eighth Black Eyed Susan. And I said, will you consider coming back for the mile race here, the one-turn mile? And he said, I don't know if she gets a mile, so they may just stick around. You know, that as a New York bred, going to have plenty of options up there, plenty of money to be made up there, and it sounds like his inclination at the moment, let's put it that way, is to stick with sprint distances.
Yeah, and when you look at her PPs, again, as a New York bred, bouncing back and forth between New York bred company and open company, she had gone down to Laurel back in December to try the Gin Talking and wound up third after having led much of the way. But the race just prior, and I showed this replay yesterday with Dave, she'd won the Franklin Square New York bred stakes race in January at Aqueduct. So now 4 wins and 7 career starts. And these are the kind I talk about a lot. You love to have this kind of nice, really talented New York bred that you can kind of, there's an open company race, let's go there. Or let's pick up a check going against New York breds. So this one, there are options all over for them. And maybe the siren call of the two-turn, three-year-old filly races is a little easier to avoid when you can see kind of the cash register going when you pick your spots judiciously.
I think you're exactly right about that. And I think it's interesting, you know, kind of a key as you sort of handicap this race, it seems to me, is you look at her recent PPs, and she had a couple of wins. She finished third behind Malibu Moonshine, who's very good. And she had finished third in the New York Breeder Futurity against the boys. So, you know, they had been – the only time she's been beaten by – pretty good horses. So, you know, as you say, there's just a lot you can do with a filly like this. And, you can make a lot of money with this filly without ever having to worry about two turns or all that stuff. So that's kind of what it sounds like they're leaning towards. But you never know how people start to think. And she's by flatter, which suggests that she might be able to get around a ground. So.
I will predict, I will make a bold, a not-so-bold prediction. I think we'll see her at Saratoga. I'm thinking Saratoga is in her future. So we can look for her up in our neck of the woods.
I'd say that's probably accurate.
On either showcase day, maybe the test will be in our future. That may be a little stiff, but one way or the other, I think we'll see her up there. The test would be a bold prediction, but I think we'll see her at Saratoga. That's not so bold. Hey, Frank.
But I'll tell you this, Seth, if you make the bold prediction now, if it comes true, everybody thinks you're a genius, so you might want to go out on a limb here.
Okay, test. Yeah, test. We'll look for her in the test. That's a great
point. I like it. I like it.
I think you're exactly right. I wonder if I can get future odds somewhere on that because I think it would live up to a bold prediction if I could. Frank, as always, really appreciate the visit. Once again, I'll tell people to swing by theracingbiz.com. Any racing biz news or notes we should be aware of?
We had a lot of stuff going on with these races the last couple of days, so that's probably been our biggest focus of late. And the other thing I should mention is our radio show kicked off yesterday for the first show of 2023, and you can listen to that on theracingbiz.com. Every Saturday from 10 to 11, we had Lynn Cash and Larry Ravelli on yesterday, so that was fun. And, you know, Ravelli sent out two fills to a pretty good effort in the Risen Star. It looked like a winner mid-stretch, but couldn't quite seal the deal, but a pretty good effort there. So that's another thing to keep an eye on.
Is it archived as well?
Yes. Yeah, on theracingbiz.com, if you go to the Off to the Races radio page, it will be archived every week.
Excellent. So people can check that out as well. Frank, again, as always, appreciate the visit, and we will talk again.
My pleasure, Seth. Thanks for having me, and good luck at the windows today.
Sounds good. Frank Vespi from theracingbiz.com. Again, going over a really nice day yesterday at Laurel, one of many nice days yesterday, highlighted, of course, by that stakes card at the fairgrounds. But again, we hit on some of those other stakes as well that will clearly play into stakes races down the road also. It was a fun Saturday. But a fun Sunday coming up. I will be back in about an hour or so to take a look at some of the action this afternoon. We'll look at some Gulfstream, some Aqueduct, some Oaklawn. Don't forget, I'm also going to be in tomorrow afternoon as well. I want to keep reminding people, tomorrow, of course, the holiday. New York is in action, so I'll do an OTB Live tomorrow afternoon as well. Oaklawn, Fairgrounds, Aqueduct, I think, will be some of the tracks we focus on tomorrow. But in the meantime, plenty of great racing today, and so we'd love to have you tune back in about an hour or so for the afternoon action on OTB Live. Otherwise, I'll wrap it up for Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrill. As always, appreciate your tuning in. Hopefully, got a little good info going forward. And again, going forward also means hopefully some good information this afternoon on OTB Live, which, as I say, will kick off in about an hour or so. So we'll let you go from Racing Across America. We'll see you a little bit later on this afternoon for OTB Live. See you then. We'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB throughout the championship meet. The Gulfstream Park Championship Meet runs now through the early April Florida Derby weekend, featuring high-quality racing throughout. Once again, we'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.
Passport to Art and now Western Beach Boy, and it's Virgin Honor who powers